So as we continue following Paul on his journeys and work in the ministry, at this point, Paul, who's bruised and bleeding, he's asking if he can talk to the crowd. He gets permission and he starts to speak in Aramaic, which is the language spoken by the Jews that were Judean. And when they heard their own native tongue, they suddenly grew very quiet. And they listened intently to Paul as he shared his background, particularly his studies with Gamaliel. And that would have been a name of a rabbi that brought feelings of just deep respect. They even listened to Paul share his story of conversion that took place on the road to Damascus. But when he told them about the Lord's call on his life to preach the gospel to the Gentiles, they once again got upset. And this time they were even more worked up. Totally unaware of Paul's background, the Roman commander simply assumed he had committed some sort of horrible crime. How could these people be so terribly out of control if he hadn't done that? And so he once again ordered that Paul be taken inside the Roman garrison, this time to be whipped and then questioned. And this procedure was customary in both Greece and Rome in order to get a criminal to confess. It was a horrible experience, a means of torture that could leave a person maimed for life, and if it went too long, it could kill him. So Paul was aware of what was happening, and if the orders by this commander were carried out, his ministry would be over. Apart from a healing, a miraculous healing, Paul knew he could have died in that very place where he had caused so many deaths that he had seen. Now, don't misunderstand. Paul was ready to give his life. He said that back in Caesarea in chapter 21, verse 13. However, he sensed that God still had some plans for him. So he cries out and he says that he's a Roman citizen. And he knew it was against Roman law to whip a man who had been who had not gone through a trial. And that plan worked, and Paul was ordered to appear before the Jewish Sanhedrin. But then a conspiracy came to light. Now, this is ironic because Paul was converted years ago. Another man had stood before this group of powerful men, and his name was Stephen, and he'd been sentenced to death for blasphemy. Since Paul had supervised that execution, you could imagine the memories that would go through his mind. And from a human point of view, appearing before the Sanhedrin was more threatening and dangerous than being jailed by the Romans. Prejudice, pride, hostility would have been in these men's hearts. But they couldn't agree among themselves, and the scene became so violent that the Roman commander feared that Paul would be torn to pieces by them. Consequently, he ordered that Paul once again be taken into custody. Angered even more, a group numbered about 40 men, they put together this conspiracy and they made an oath that they wouldn't eat or drink until they had killed Paul. They even presented their strategy to the Sanhedrin, who agreed to this plan and consented to set him up. However, the Lord had already reassured his servant that he would not face death in Jerusalem. Rather, he would also have the opportunity to witness about Christ in the capital city of Rome. Well, true to his word, the Lord delivered Paul. He used Paul's nephew, the son of Paul's sister, to expose this plot. And this young man got word regarding what was happening and relayed that information to Paul, who sent him to the commander. And this Roman leader, in turn, arranged for Paul to be transported to Caesarea, where he would appear before a Roman governor named Felix. Paul was very disappointed with this turn of events in Jerusalem. Though he had expected trouble, he really had hoped for a more positive response to the gospel among his fellow Jews. After all, he had been one of them. Perhaps he thought they would have listened to his personal testimony, but his hopes were dashed when the crowd so quickly rejected his witness. And the men in the Sanhedrin actually cooperated with the plot to take his life. Paul's disappointments became God's opportunities. You see, Paul had planned on visiting Rome, and now he was about to make that journey, not as a free man, as he had hoped, but as a prisoner. But he was on his way. Little did he realize that the trip would take over 2 years. However, he would have many opportunities to present the gospel to many people, including very high-ranking Roman officials, just as God had revealed that truth to Ananias shortly after Paul was converted on the road to Damascus.